Welcome to another amazing, exciting, awesome, stupendous, death-defying, action-packed episode of Pro Wrestling Nation. I, of course, am your host. My name is Funky Sam Medina. I am tired. I am half asleep. I am grumpy. I am cranky. I am suffering from a lack of sleep, you guys. How is it going? Welcome to the program. I'm sorry that I'm late, as always. So let me explain it to you. Let me break it down for you. As if you follow the show for a while, I talk about working graveyard. I do. I talk about it. I work graveyard. We all know that. Third shift sucks. And lately, in my hometown, San Jose, California, it has been like 100 degrees during the day. And guess who that has impacted? The daytime sleepers, like one Funky Sam Medina. So I'm here. I had a great conversation with Don Mega. I feel like I didn't do him justice. I feel like I didn't do as well, you know. But hey, you know what? It's okay, because Don Mega was a featured guest. He did a fantastic job. He had great opinions. He had great things to say. The conversation is a little bit all over the place, just because that's how I roll. And I was working with half a deck of cards. Usually that's how I also roll. But today I am here and I am ready to rock and roll. So before we go any further, I just want to say Pro Wrestling Nation is a weekly pro wrestling podcast that can be found every single week on iTunes, Stitcher, Beyond Pod, the TuneIn Radio app, the new Android podcasting app. I still haven't used it. I don't know how to use it. I tried to use it before. I feel like an old man trying to program a VCR using that damn app. But if you can use it, then I'm sure you can find the program on there somewhere. I got approved. I know I got the email saying your podcast has been approved and you will be on whatever Android podcasting app thing it is. I don't know. Also, you can find it on every single week on reddragonsradio.com and, of course, gerwick.net, G-E-R-W-E-C-K, gerwick.net, your number one source for pro wrestling news since 1997. Go ahead and check out gerwick.net. They have a great audio family. I really, really, really enjoy Teddy Long every single week. I know I keep saying that, but it's really cool. Teddy Long is a regular part of the Gerwick Report podcast, which you can find on Gerwick.net, or go to your favorite podcasting app and just search Gerwick. You could also find Pro Wrestling Nation under that little search engine. So check it out. 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 Today, I talked to Don Mega. Don Mega is the owner, operator, the boss over at RedDragonsRadio.com. I've been friends with Don for a very long time. Not a very long time, but for years. For years. Probably four years maybe. Don Mega was the host of one of the very first wrestling podcasts that I ever listened to, called Future Endeavors, along with the famous, the world famous Nick Gator and Corey What's-His-Face. That's right, I said it, Corey What's-His-Face. You got a problem with that, Santiago? Anyways, so Don Mega is a good friend of mine. He promotes my podcast a little bit and stuff, and I like to promote his website, and every once in a while I like to bring him on and talk about professional wrestling, because Don doesn't get to do that anymore. He doesn't get the professional wrestling I can't even think of the word. I had it in my head a second ago and I lost it. The professional wrestling outlet that is a professional wrestling podcast. He doesn't get that because he doesn't do Future Endeavors anymore. I'm not sure why. His friends, his other co-hosts still do podcasts. Don still does podcasts. So let's make a petition to get Future Endeavors unfuture endeavored back on the air. I would love that. I would definitely love that. So Don comes on here, and basically our whole idea was to talk about the brand split. We threw a bunch of other stuff in there, like the Cody Rhodes stuff and what else? All kinds of cool stuff, all kinds of going on in wrestling, all the top things that are happening, you know, the releases, the Cody Rhodes, the brand split, the draft, NXT, the future of NXT. What's going to happen? NXT the end? Is it the end? Is it? I would like to give my perspective on NXT the end, along with some potential match previews. I can't even speak right now, you guys. I am like, I came home from work this morning, and I had an unexpected accidental nap. I accidentally took a nap. I didn't mean to, but I accidentally did. And it was cool because the fan was on and it wasn't late in the afternoon like it is now and all hot and crazy outside. In fact, I don't even know right now. It's not that hot, but it has been. It has been really hot. Like, I hate summer. I hate summer already. And I'm not talking Summer Rae, even though I kind of don't really like her either. I hate summer already. It's only June 3rd or June 4th or 5th or something. And I hate summer, you guys. I hate it already. With that being said, I'm going to kick it over to my conversation that I had with Don Mega. You can follow him on Twitter at DXDonMega or at Red Dragons Radio. And I'm going to come back and talk about NXT TakeOver The End. For now, though, enjoy my conversation that I had with Mr. Don Mega. We talk about the brand split. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with the Don Mega of RedDragonsRadio.com, the host of Am I on the Air? Ladies and gentlemen, Don Mega. How you doing, Don?
What up, Funky Sam Medina? Don Mega finally has returned to pro wrestling nation.
Yeah, dude, it's been a long time. I don't know what happened. You hit me up, you're like, dude, it's been forever. And I was like, you're right, it has been forever. Let's do something.
It is, man. I think last time we talked, NXT was having Daniel Bryan on as a rookie.
Yeah, I wonder how his career is going to pan out.
I don't know, man. That jabroni. He'll probably have to retire here soon.
Yeah, probably. He'll never be the world champion, that's for sure.
Oh, for damn sure. He's lucky to get any title.
So you're the man behind RedDragonsRadio.com and Am I on the Air? Am I still on the air? A few other podcasts. Why don't you, for real quick, go into a little bit of detail about the website and what you got to offer here, including Pro Wrestling Nation.
Well, hell yeah. Exactly, including Pro Wrestling Nation. So y'all should be checking it out right there. So hopefully you know what it is by now. We've been running Red Dragons Radio for several years now. And, you know, we have it as a hub for all you guys out there to that listening to podcasts, enjoy listening to good podcasts, and it's supposed to be a one-stop shop for you to be able to go to, click on, and be able to listen to your favorite podcast. And I try to have a very nice range of things for you guys to listen to. So obviously for your wrestling needs, you're going to get on, you're going to listen to some Pro Wrestling Nation. For your entertainment needs, you're going to sign on, you're going to listen to Am I on the Air, which is my show, which is talking all entertainment news, TV, movies, you know, and all that. We got, you know, shows talking about geek culture. We got forum type shows that just talk about whatever. We got political shows. We got music shows. We got, you know, TV after shows. We got sports shows. There's, you know, there's so much that runs the gauntlet on Red Dragons right now, so definitely go check it out. It's RedDragonsRadio.com. You can follow on Twitter at RedDragonsRadio, so you always know what's going down with the latest and greatest when it comes to podcasts. So, you know, Funky Sam Medina and I, we go way back. When I started Red Dragons and I wanted a wrestling show, his show was the one I wanted to represent the wrestling community. So I'm glad we've been good partners. We've been rolling with it for a while now, and you know, I'm glad to be back on here to kind of talk some wrestling, man. You know, the original passion that kind of got the whole podcast movement started. So I'm glad to be here.
You know, what's funny is you're right. Today, in preparation to this conversation, I was like trying to remember. Like, I couldn't for the life of me remember the name of Future Endeavors. It came to me eventually. But I was like, oh, man, what the hell was that show called? I used to, that was one of the very first. It's been so long. I remember when you guys stopped doing the podcast, and then you're like, okay, we're going to get back together, and we're going to do, like, a WrestleMania special. And I had that, like, on my phone for so long. Just to, you know, I would go to it every once in a while, refresh the feed. I'm like, oh, it's not coming back. But that was one of my original favorite wrestling podcasts. And we go back to those days.
That's how we met. Future Endeavors is, you know, the original. That's what got me into podcasting was Future Endeavors, was the wrestling show that we did, and it was a fun time. We did it for over 3 years, a couple hundred episodes, and, you know, it was good. You know, put it to rest a little, almost 2 years ago now, and, you know,
it's been a long time.
Yeah, you know, and kind of passed the torch over to you. Future Endeavors is available on Red Dragons Radio, by the way, but yeah, that hasn't been an episode in quite some time, but you're more than welcome to click on the link and search back and just listen to some good old times, because they're still funny episodes, so, you know, we leave it up there just for shits and giggles, But, you know, that's why it was like, since Future Endeavors wasn't going to be representing on Red Dragons, I needed a good, you know, wrestling show that was going to cover the gauntlet, and that's where you came into play. So I'm glad that you filled that void.
Definitely. I'm glad to have you out and glad for you to help me out, you know.
Oh, yeah. That's the whole point of Red Dragons, is to, you know, spread the love.
Yeah, I think Red Dragons Radio has a very good variety of just, like you said, different kind of stuff. You got the technology stuff, you got the movie stuff, you got the sports. How many podcasts are you currently doing?
Oh, man. I currently have Am I on the Air? Am I Still on the Air? Which is, I don't do all the time. It's kind of a spinoff. We do it. We usually do those episodes about movie reviews, spoiler reviews, special to hot topics. I do another show called Red Dragons Assemble, which is me and a couple other hosts from Red Dragons Radio. We get together usually once a month, and we do an episode there. And I was also doing a after show for the greatest show on television right now, which is Banshee. But Banshee actually just ended last week, so that podcast is coming to an end. We're going to do one more episode to kind of completely wrap up the fourth and final season that just aired. But that's something I've been doing for the last several months, is literally doing a weekly after show about Banshee, which if you haven't seen the TV show Banshee, I highly recommend. It was on the Cinemax channel. It was on for 4 seasons. The show literally just ended last week, and it's an amazing show, and so good, we wanted to start another podcast to talk about it weekly. So that podcast was called Welcome to Banshee, and it's available on Red Dragons Radio as well. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 basically going on right now, you know. It'll be going back to 3 here shortly, but yeah, 4 at this time, currently going.
Wow, you are a busy man. Definitely a busy man.
Oh, it's hard. It's very hard.
and you have a baby. How old is your baby now? Like 2 or 3?
Yeah, she's 2 and a half. So,
wow.
Yeah. Makes it hard.
That's crazy. I remember, yeah. How is being a father just like changed your life? Because it's, you know, you're newly father. It's only been a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, it changed my world. I mean, it flipped my world completely upside down. But it's been for the best. It's the best thing that ever could have happened to me. It was, you know, it was rough, and there was a lot of struggle times in the beginning there. But I'll tell you, man, right now she's at a beautiful age. She's starting to talk, and you can interact, and you can carry on conversation. And, you know, I had a very proud moment last night. She gave her bottle, and we were laying down to relax and get her ready for bed. And she asked me to watch Superman before she went to bed. So I appreciated that and threw on some Man of Steel for her before we went to sleep. And, you know, it's moments like those that make me just, like, the proudest dad in the world, that she's only 2 and she's all into Batman and Superman and the Avengers and all this stuff. I've definitely brainwashed her. She's actually into wrestling right now as well. She asks me all the time, can we watch wrestling, Daddy? And she loves The New Day. I actually videotaped her. If you can follow me on Vine at DX Don Mega, and they've got a cute little clip up there on my Vine that I actually tweeted to The New Day a couple days ago, of her sitting on the couch going, New Day Rocks, and clapping. And it's the best thing in the world to see a little 2-year-old chanting New Day Rocks and clapping. She's not in complete tune. but you know what you're doing, and it's hilarious, and I love it, and it's cool to see her get into wrestling already at this age and, like, want to sit and watch it with me. She does Lucha when Kalisto comes out, and she's,
oh, nice.
She's got her things down that she really loves, and it's great, man. So, I mean, those are the moments that just, you know, makes me very proud to be a dad when those things happen.
That's awesome. That's really awesome that, you know, she's into wrestling and stuff. That's cool.
Yeah, it's great. Not many things she'll sit down and actually get her attention at that age.
But some of your favorite things, though.
I know, but she will sit down and watch wrestling, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and Batman and Superman on top of that.
Exactly, man. She's all about it. She's got all the clothes. She's always, if you ever follow me on social media, you'll see she's always rocking a Superman shirt or a Batman shirt or. You know, I get her dressed for daycare every morning, and I ask her, what do you want to wear today? And she usually says, Superman! Batman! So she's all about it, and I love it, man. She's great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So let's move forward to some wrestling, shall we?
Yes, sir.
So I guess real quick, it happened a couple of weeks ago, but what are your thoughts on the Rhodes family, Cody and his wife, Brandy Eden, asking for their releases and then... leaving ship.
Yeah, shocked. I shouldn't say I'm too shocked, though, but I am shocked at just the way it kind of went down. You hear about these guys when they ask for their release, and I guess you can't really fault them for it. I mean, we did it with, you know, King Barrett here pretty recently, and we've known that Cody hasn't been all that happy with everything that's been going on, and his role, obviously. I don't blame him. I think that he's ready to go kick some ass on the independent circuit and make some money, you know, as a headliner. And I wish him the best. I think he's going to do some really cool stuff. I think WWE totally dropped the ball on him. Even a Stardust, man. I mean, I know a lot of people will kind of reference, like, well, once he went to Stardust, it kind of went downhill. But you know what? Stardust could have been a really badass character if they would have pushed it the proper way. I was never really a big Cody Rhodes fan. I appreciated what he did. I grew to like him more as the years went on. Like, once he became dashing Cody Rhodes, I kind of started to get into him. And then when he wore the face mask for like a year, like, I was like, okay, this guy's not that bad. And then the Stardust thing, I don't know, it gave me a new life for him, and I really dug it. And then I expected big things when he started to team up with Ascension, and I thought they were going to become this really cool kind of clique together, and they were starting to call, oh, the Cosmic Wasteland and all this stuff. Like, I thought they were going to be this cool little group together with this unique kind of almost comic book style, you know, of him being the master villain and the Ascension kind of being his little henchman, you know, kind of thing. And I really was digging it, but then it was like all he did was wrestle on Main Event and Superstars every week, and they just kind of punked him out, man. He just became a jobber, and I just didn't get it. And then, you know, they really dropped the ball by not making him Cody again, because, you know, when his dad passed, I thought for sure they were going to capitalize on that fact and just be like, okay, he's going back to Cody Rhodes now, you know, to kind of carry on the name and out of respect for the family and everything. And he would have got a great pop, and he probably would have got a great push. They didn't do nothing. So I can't fault the dude for being like, I'm out, you know. I'm sure we'll probably see him back in the WWE one day, but, you know, I have more power to him, and I wish him the best of luck. As far as his wife goes, I don't really care. I was never really into her. I don't think she was all the greatest ring announcer, and, you know, if she's got a good opportunity somewhere else, then more power to her, too.
Yeah, I mean, as far as Eden goes, she's pretty much interchangeable with JoJo. No offense to either one of them. But.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as Cody goes, I think you're absolutely right. If they would have let him transition back into Cody Rhodes, they could have had a huge story on their hands, like a huge pop, because people were following it on social media. People were getting excited. Oh, he's teasing it. And if he would have just somehow done it on TV, I think it would have been really big. The timing on this, too, it's like good timing and bad timing at the same time for him, because you know, I'm sure he doesn't want to leave right after his dad passes away, because WWE was doing a lot of stuff for his family, and he probably wants to show a little bit of gratitude and stay for a little while. So he decided to wait and whatever, and now he's leaving. But I feel like the brand split could have really showcased Cody, and it could have really helped him out. And, like, it would have been the opportunity he needed, really, you know?
I completely agree. The brand split, and it's the whole purpose of it, and it's the whole reason why I love it, is to give people opportunity. And I think Cody could have gotten a great opportunity, but obviously he was done, man. You could tell he was frustrated. He just wanted out, and I don't know if anything could have saved him at that point. But you know, I agree with you. I think if he would have stuck around, there might have been some good things coming his way.
Did you see his wrestling wish list?
No.
He posted a list. Let me see if I can find it. It's my phone. Anyways, he posted a list online, on Twitter, and it was, who was on there? Kurt Angle, Chris Hero, the Young Bucks, the Streamers thing, Bola. There was a few other things on there. I can't remember exactly what, and I don't know what I did with my phone. Anyways, so he's been announced for two events already, and the first one is him versus Kurt Angle, which was on his list.
Oh, wow.
And the next one is him at an Evolve show. And his opponent's not named, but Chris Hero was on his list, and Chris Hero works for Evolve. And it's amazing that he can just kind of go out there now and just do what he wants to do and just have fun with wrestling again.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, so it's just really, it's just an exciting world for the indies out there, just for all parties involved.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I think, you know, it's funny because I think, what, several years ago, it was a point to where if these guys got fired or left, it was just kind of like, they were kind of almost in a bad situation, right? It was like, without WWE, you ain't going to be doing shit. You're going to be playing cafeterias, you know? And it was like, it was a really bad thing. But now it's like, I don't know, it's like indie wrestling is just at a great point right now. And there's a lot of little companies that these guys can go to and put on great matches and actually make a decent little money, especially if they're willing to go to Japan and like stuff like that. And I think these guys are realizing it now. And that's why you've seen in the last couple of years more and more people just be like, you know what, I want to get released out of my contract, which is something that you never really saw before until the last couple of years. So, you know, these guys know now that they can go make a pretty puck, you know, a pretty buck, and then do something really cool in the indies, and then who knows, maybe make a bigger name for themselves and get to come back later on down the road. I mean, you know, look at Luke Gallows right now. I mean, do we remember Festus, people? You know, Festus. You know, I mean, look at what happens when you go away and you get some time to do some shit, and then all of a sudden you're, you know, in a clique with the biggest dude in the company. I mean, good stuff happens sometimes, man, if you just kind of go away. I mean, even though it kind of failed when he came back to WWE, but look at, you know, Tensai, right? You know, got Albert, like, who went over, he left and went to Japan and became this, you know, massive name, you know?
Yeah, and then WWE, and now he's in a great position, and he probably has a job for life.
Yeah, and now he's the head trainer, you know, for NXT. So there's a lot of opportunity for these guys, you know, and it's like, go away for a little bit, make a bigger name for yourself, and then you can leave the door open to come later. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of guys that have left that are looking to come back. I mean, I see John Morrison's name come up all the time. There's somebody that Vince wants to bring back, and you know, and he's even said in interviews, like, yeah, I'll be back someday. You know, right now I'm just having fun. You know, these guys get to have some fun doing stuff like Lucha Underground, or, you know, doing Japan and doing the indies and Evolve and all that kind of stuff, and then can know the door's open to come back later when the time's right. But they might as well, you know, at this point in their career, if they're just being used as jobbers, you know, let's go make some money.
Yeah, yeah, and I feel like when Drew Galloway and Justin Gabriel and these guys left, they kind of went out and they lit the indies on fire, and ever since then, it's just been, you know, indies have just been off the hook, and great things have been happening.
Exactly. Like, I was a big Justin Gabriel fan, man. I love that dude. And WWE dropped the ball on him.
He could have been something
really, really cool. And now look at him, dude. He's like in Lucha Underground kicking ass. And like, he's just got this better attitude now as PJ Black. And just, it just goes to show, man, that, you know, sometimes it's like they just drop the ball on these guys. You know, I was always a big fan of Curt Hawkins, and, you know, he's tearing it up on the indies right now. And, you know, like I said, Drew Galloway. I mean, it's good. I'm glad to see these guys that struggled in WWE and got let go, like, go get to do something special with their careers, because there's a lot of talent that was left on the table.
You know, when the Nexus first debuted, I thought Justin Gabriel was going to be the breakout star, and they just completely dropped the guy.
Totally, dude. I mean, after the Nexus broke up and they stopped messing around with him just being like a tag team guy with Heath Slater, you know, it was like, run with this dude, man. Like, do some cool stuff with him. And then it was like, he went back to NXT for a little bit, and I thought he was going to get this, like, revamp. And I just, you know, it's just like every time I thought something cool was going to start happening with him, they just enhancement talent once again, you know, always jobbing. And it's just like, I don't get it. I mean, the dude is mad talented, could put on some really cool matches, and I don't know why they just can't figure out how to utilize some of these guys sometimes.
Yeah, hopefully, though, with the brand split, like, they let us down before. They really didn't do the draft. I mean, the brand split, as good as they could have done it, they didn't kind of stick their guns with it a little bit, because SmackDown was on network TV, and it wasn't live, and it's not Raw. I feel like this time around, when they do the brand split, SmackDown will be a priority a lot more than it was in the past, because it's on USA Network, and because it's going to be live. And those two reasons, it'll be held. Yeah, no spoilers.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the reason that SmackDown suffers, dude. Everybody reads the spoilers in advance, and then they just go, oh, okay, it's a decent show, I'll DVR it or catch it at another time, you know? Oh, and then there's, like, this no rush to watch it, and that's the whole reason why we all rush to watch Raw, because we're like, we don't know what the hell's going to happen, right? It's live, and anything exactly. can happen, and anybody could pop up. And you know, with them going live for the first time ever after all these years SmackDown on, they're going to save some pretty cool shit for SmackDown. I guarantee it in this first year.
Yeah.
They're going to have returns. They're going to have fucking debuts. They're going to do some really cool shit with SmackDown. So then you know it's another can't miss kind of show that you don't want to just DVR or let somebody spoil on you. So I'm looking forward to it, man. SmackDown's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it, too. I feel like they're going to be able to showcase a lot more people, because instead of showing Roman Reigns, well, they probably still will show Roman Reigns twice a week, but instead of showing all these people twice a week, they get to have more time and showcase more people. I remember at one point John Cena himself said he would never have broken out if it wasn't for, you know, him being able to go up the ranks on SmackDown side of things, because if there wasn't a brand split, he would have been lost in the shuffle. Just like all these other guys that just come and go. Like the Drew Galloway's of the world and the Justin Gabriel's of the world. Mm-hmm. Like these guys could have shined. The Cody Rhodes's of the world. Damian Sandow's of the world. I don't know about him, but... What do you think about him? He's doing some indie stuff, too. He is Aaron Stevens now. He's going back to Aaron Stevens.
You know, I don't know. I mean, more power to him. I hope he does well. I was never a big Damian Sandow fan. I don't know. That character just never really worked for me. I thought he was pretty hilarious with The Miz. That angle was really funny. But once again, there's WWE dropping the ball and not knowing what to do, you know? Because it's like they had this massive opportunity when the crowd was behind him for him to be pushed really, really well. And then they just threw him into that Macho Man gimmick, and then they lost it, and then he got let go. You know, just it.
Hulk Hogan,
I don't understand.
That
well, Hulk Hogan screwed it up for Curtis Axel, but they could have kept doing the Macho Man one if they wanted. But it was still silly. I mean, even as funny as the Macho Man thing was, it was still silly. And you had Damian Sandow at this peak moment that everybody was just itching and pushing for any opportunity to see this dude and what he was going to do and how great he was, and it was like they just didn't know what to fucking do with him after that. It was like he just got put back on Superstar as a main event, and it was the same thing again. It was just like, I don't understand how they don't realize, like, how does WWE with all their writers and all their head people not know how to push a button on somebody when they know someone's hot? You know, it's just like, I don't know, man. It kills me sometimes, like, to see. Like, I mean, look at Zack Ryder's reaction, like, the crowd reaction when he won the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. And then the very next night, they're like, let's have The Miz beat him for it. Like, I don't understand their logic sometimes, dude. It just kills me.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you. They need to put the rocket behind some of these guys, and they just don't do it. Especially when these guys are so over with the crowd, and they just go, meh, whatever. And Vince is always constantly saying, you're the test market, you're the people, you decide, you tell us who you want. And the fans tell him and tell him and tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And they go and they injure Daniel Bryan.
That's like Enzo and Cass for the last year in NXT not being able to get the damn tag team titles. I swear, every time they got a tag title shot, I'm like, this is going to be the moment. And they, like, never did. And, like, that crowd reaction was crazy, dude. Especially the NXT takeover they did in London. Oh, my God,
oh, yeah.
Dude. They were...
And weren't they on the pre-show? Or on the,
no,
didn't they...
they opened the show, dude.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Or and then when they
them against the Vaudevillains, right?
Yeah, and then when they did Roadblock, that Roadblock pay per view before WrestleMania. Remember that one they just kind of added last minute, which
against the Revival,
against Dean Ambrose. Yeah, they yeah. added that NXT tag team titles on a main WWE kind of show, and I'm like, all right, cool. And that crowd went nuts for Enzo and Cass. I'm like, guaranteed. I will bet the house that they're winning the tag team titles here. And they didn't. And I'm like, how are we not hooking these dudes up after this crowd reaction? Like, nobody gives a shit about the Revival. Why are we doing this to ourselves? I don't know, man.
Well, I knew they were going to win at Roadblock because NXT had been taped up to the point of TakeOver. And also, I felt like it was a way to introduce the audience to Enzo and Cass.
I don't know, but when you hear that crowd reaction, I'm just like, how do you not call an audible sometimes, you know?
Yeah, no, completely. I completely agree with you on that. They really need to kind of change the booking a little bit here and there just to please the audience more. And I feel like Vince McMahon's philosophy is to make the crowd go home mad, because that way they'll, like, come back for their revenge or something. I feel like he thinks that if he satisfies the audience, then they'll be done. They'll be like, all right, well, I got what I wanted, so I'm done. The whole Daniel Bryan thing.
I don't know. It's the way it's always been, and I guess, you know, as a long-term fan, as long as we've been watching, we just need to be used to it, but it just never ceases to amaze me sometimes. I'm like, you know, they have such gold that just falls into their lap sometimes, and they just don't realize it.
Yeah, no, they really do. They really do. So I mentioned earlier about the draft, the brand split. They announced it a couple days ago, like last week, that on July 19th, SmackDown goes live. And there'll be a brand split, and there's going to be a draft. I'm really, really excited about this draft.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rumors. There's a rumored roster. I don't know if you've seen it out there.
I have
there's
seen like, it. I think it's
this
complete
is
bullshit.
The official roster. I think it's complete bullshit, too.
It is, because it has almost like the whole NXT roster on it. I don't know if they're really going to be a part of, like, I don't know if it's the same list you've seen, but like it pretty much divides the NXT roster down the middle, and half of them are on Raw and half of them are on SmackDown. And I can see maybe NXT getting a little bit of like maybe a segment on each show once a week, you know, where they're like, this is the NXT match of the week or something, you know, just to kind of help pimp the brand. But like, I don't see like the whole damn roster getting split up onto Raw and SmackDown. Like, I don't see that. So that's why I was kind of like, that list just didn't seem right to me. But, you know, the drafts are always fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what they throw our way. I hope they do something unique this time.
Yeah, I really do too.
Just the pre kind of the pictures kind of rotating, and then it's like Rey Mysterio to SmackDown. Like I like when they pulled names like kind of like when like my favorite I think was Vince and Ric Flair on like the
original,
first draft.
Yeah.
Like when they really split it, yeah, and they kind of were flipping coins to get, you know, who goes first, who goes second, and then like getting to, you know, okay, my pick is John Cena, you know, and like kind of like going for the throat, you know. And if they're gonna do it to where like Shane runs Raw or whatever and Stephanie runs SmackDown, then like they should do it like that. I want to see like that kind of a draft where they're like shooting back and forth at each other about who they want, you know, kind of thing. And they could do trades or whatever. Like I remember the trade aspect was always pretty cool too. So, you know, we trade the Dudley Boys for Triple H.
it was the Dudley Boys and Booker T for Triple H.
Exactly. See, because he's worth three guys.
He's worth three top guys. Definitely is. No, you're right. I don't like the lottery style draft. I think it's completely phony. Like that year John Cena got drafted first to SmackDown and then he got drafted last back to Raw.
Yeah.
Like it's so phony. Or one year Batista was the first draft and then John Cena was the last pick and they switched the belts.
Yep. Well, that's what I'm saying. That was always the funniest thing was when it was a champion, right? It's like, oh, the Intercontinental Champion just went to SmackDown. SmackDown now has the Intercontinental and the United States title. Oh, look, now the U.S. Champion just got drafted to Raw. Thank God, now the belts are split again between the two shows. It was just so funny that it was like, it always just kind of fleshed itself out every time.
Yeah, it was so like, it was just like perfectly random, you know?
Exactly, totally random, but all the champions got drafted and my hope for this draft is that they do it a little bit differently with tag teams. You know, I hope that, like, you know, that the whole New Day is just drafted as a group. You know, that it's not just like, oh, Kofi's Raw and Xavier's SmackDown. And, like, I don't want them to start splitting up teams. I think if you're in a tag team right now, you should draft as a team. That should be something that... That's where they always kind of effed up back in the day, you know, like being like, oh, Jey Uso is on Raw and Jimmy's on SmackDown. Like, who cares? Like, I don't want to see the Usos separate. Like, just keep them together. Like, there's no point, you know, like, are we going to, oh, Epico is going to Raw and Primo's on SmackDown. Like, just keep your tag teams together. That's my big thing is I think they should just draft the teams together right now. I think that'll solve a lot of the, like, dumb mistakes that happened in the old school.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to address, there's a rumor that they're going to split up Enzo and Cass in the draft. And that's so horrible. It's way too soon. They just got to the WWE like 2 months ago, and Enzo's been out for a month.
What though? What scares me is I can totally see them doing that, because I feel like with Enzo getting hurt, I think they loved what Cass did on those couple weeks without him. And I think, once again, you got the big 7-foot-tall guy, and I think Vince has just got his heart on again, and he's like, that's my new dude. And they probably get him away from that weird little man that he said he rides bottom with. You know, like, we love him together, but I could totally see Vince being, like, sold on Cass after, you know, him being forced to kind of run solo for a couple weeks. That's kind of the downside. I bet they never even thought about it, and then Enzo got hurt, and all of a sudden Cass, like, got the crowd behind him, and he was out doing some shit and wrestled Chris Jericho and got all the shit going on that, you know, they opened their eyes, and you know, I could see them trying to split them up quicker, you know, now rather than trying to do it down the road. I hope they don't. I would like to see them get a run as tag champs, but it looks like they're going to probably try to go with Gallows and Anderson, you know, going for the tag belt next. So,
yeah, they probably will, but I really don't want to see Enzo and Cass split up. I feel like they complement each other so well, you know, like, because Enzo's the talker, and
yeah.
I would rather see them transition Enzo, like, out of the wrestling role and more into the manager role, but just keep them together.
Yeah? How you doing?
Yeah, they're so awesome together. They really are. They could even bring Carmella. And
I want to see Carmella join them so bad. I feel so bad she got left on the NXT. I'm like, you got to bring Carmella up. Come on. We're missing a part of the entrance there. Come on.
Yeah, no, they definitely are missing Carmella. I think she does add something to the gimmick. But, you know, they kind of needed her to be one of the pillars in the women's division in NXT.
Yeah, no, I get it. It feels weird to just have her alone now and not have her with Enzo and Cass.
Oh, but she has her best friend, Bayley.
Yeah.
Baymella. Wait, what is it? Baymella?
Baymella. I forgot what the... Breezango.
They missed an opportunity to be called Febreze.
Dude, that's awesome. I never even thought about that.
Oh, yeah, I thought about that a long time ago. Febreze.
That's great, dude, Febreze.
They would have
that's
had another
so
lawsuit
awesome.
On their hands. PBR and Febreze would have been suing them.
Oh, my God, that's great. You just make the Febreze have a couple extra E's and they'll be all good.
I was, oh, that's true, you're right. Just spell it differently.
It's not Fandango, it's Fondango.
It's not Febreze, it's Febreze.
To be honest, I actually really dig them as a tag team. I think that Fandango and Tyler Breeze work so well together from a certain standpoint. And I'm like, they could really push this into something cool. I know they kind of just slapped them together because of the whole Golden Truth thing, and it's just the way the angle kind of played out, but I hope that they kind of run with them for a little bit as a unit and don't just break them up, because they ain't doing shit with Tyler and they haven't done shit with Fandango in the last year. So, like, let them run as a team, man. Like, I dig it, actually. I think they complement each other really well for what both their individual gimmicks are, that it works as a tag team.
I saw this picture on Twitter of Tyler Breeze doing his selfie stick. And then Fandango's like over. You can see him over his shoulder, kind of like posing for the camera too. Like their gimmicks work so well together. It's
totally
like Godfather and Valvina's chemistry.
Yeah,
like the porn star and the pimp, they went well together.
Exactly, dude. No, it's made to be them as a tag team. So
yeah.
I hope they keep it together, especially with the brand split. I think that they could actually do something pretty cool, especially if they do decide to pull the trigger and do two tag champs again.
I really don't like Breezango, though.
The name is retarded. And it's super lazy, man. It's just like, it's just that thing of them, like, just slapping something on, you know, and hoping it sticks. That's a fucking Rybacksel name.
Rybacksel. Do you remember, this reminds me, do you remember Big Show and Billy Gunn? They were teaming up, and they were going around asking everybody what their tag team name should be. And then they stopped Vince, and they're like, Vince. We're going to be a tag team, but we need to come up with a tag team name. What do you think? And he's like, I don't care. Call yourselves Double Trouble. Crap on a stick for all I care.
I don't remember that. That's awesome.
That's one of my favorite promos. Back to the draft. I'm hoping because they haven't given us any, they didn't tell us the date of the draft, they haven't told us when, where, what it's going to be, anything about it. I'm hoping that they give us like an NFL draft kind of situation where they have, you know, maybe a Saturday, all day network special. And they have,
oh, it'd be tight.
Like Shane has a podium and Stephanie has a podium, yeah. And I draft to Monday Night Raw, Roman Reigns, you know, and they just go back and forth and they're able to choose their own draft picks. And I feel like that would be a lot better system than a lottery, random ass.
Raw Monday night.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, why not? You know, it'll get network subscriptions.
Exactly. No, I love it, dude. I think it's a great idea. I never even thought about them doing a special on the network. I forget sometimes, man. You know, it's like they got this network. They have this platform that they could do whatever the hell they want, you know, whenever they want. And
I think they forget about it sometimes.
I know,
too.
Exactly. Make it a network exclusive, like you said, Saturday night. It doesn't even need to really be an all-day thing, just because, I mean, it doesn't take that long for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it could be like a two-hour event or even one-hour
event.
Yeah,
they could. Yeah, 1 or 2 hour event on like, you know, 8 p.m. Eastern or something on a Saturday night. Have all the superstars, NXT included, whatever, sitting in like a little banquet room, you know, set up the cameras and just get, yeah, man, have them, you know, okay, it's Raw's pick, you know, okay, for Raw, I pick, you know, that'd be awesome, you know, and then they can make some decisions on what they're going to do with the belts. And
and they could talk to, like, they could interview people who got drafted. Hey, you got drafted to Raw. Like, what do you think about that?
Yeah, dude, no, great idea, man. They won't do it because they don't think cool like shit like that. It'll just be the Raw before the brand extension. They'll do it.
You know, because I feel like if they do it on Raw, then it makes Raw look like the better show.
Mm-hmm.
They have to kind of keep it fair. We're going to do half of it on Raw, half of it on SmackDown. That kind of sucks, you know. Or for everybody to show up to Raw and only half the roster has to show up to SmackDown.
Yeah.
All it takes is them renting out a banquet hall for a night.
Yep.
I mean, they have everything else. They have all the TV equipment. They have the network. You know, all they need to do is rent out a banquet hall.
Totally. I love it.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this draft. I mean, they could do a lot of good things, but they could also, you know, do a lot of bad things, too. Like, they have this track record where they take, you know, something that's, like, completely amazing. Like, look at AJ Styles. They have AJ Styles. I mean, they've turned him heel so soon. Like, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
I hope it plays out well. But, like, they have this guy, and he just lost, and he lost, and he lost, and he lost to WrestleMania, and he lost to Roman Reigns twice,
mm-hmm.
and now he's going on to face, like, in what world does he even deserve to be in the same ring with John Cena at this point? You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they messed up with that. I'm really disappointed that Finn Balor's not involved. Like, I've been waiting. Every time. They start to do this like Bullet Club kind of like thing. I'm like, all right, hit the music, turn the lights out, let's do this. Where the hell's Finn at? And every time he never comes out, and I'm like, God damn it, I want to see Finn Balor. It's like, I just feel like they're missing another opportunity, man. It's like Balor's been running around with this Balor Club shirt and Titantron for the last year. I'm like, come on, man, how's he not a part of this club? Like, let's go.
Club sandwich. You know, my perfect scenario was when AJ fought Roman at Extreme Rules. Was they set it up perfectly, because in the very first match they had the tornado tag match with the Usos and the club, and they laid out the Usos, and they're like, oh, the Usos are hurt, we don't even know if they'll be able to like come out later tonight, right? So then you go, okay, so Roman is left without backup, perfect. And then during Roman AJ, Anderson and Gallows come out, and they lay out Roman, and then they turn around and they lay out AJ. And then the next night on Raw, Finn Balor, he's the mastermind behind it. He comes out, and or even that night at Extreme Rules, you know, and he has a microphone. He's like, I've been busting my ass in NXT for 2 years, and you've been here for 3 months, and you're in the world title picture? It doesn't happen on my watch.
Yep.
You know, and that's why he's mad, because he feels like he's been busting his ass, and AJ just walks in the door.
I kind of was thinking along the same type of lines. I thought that, you know, after, because AJ kept being like, telling, you know, Gallows and Anderson, like, I don't need you guys, you know, like, we're friends, but let me do this on my own and all this stuff. So, like, I figured that Anderson and Gallows were going to turn on AJ, and then Finn would have been the mastermind and become the new leader of them, you know, and that would be the actual club, and then they would feud with AJ for a bit, you know? Like, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, I would have loved to see AJ Finn Balor at SummerSlam. AJ probably would have lost again, but he's been losing anyway, so what's the big deal? What do you think about his heel turn on Monday with the club reuniting?
I mean, it was a cool little twist. I mean, you know, it was like I didn't really see it coming that time. I think I agree with you. I just think it's too soon. I mean,
yeah, he's only been in the company
AJ
6 months.
AJ should be a face right now. I don't think he plays a heel super well. And I think, you know, he had the crowd behind him. I think they felt they needed to do that just because everybody could want him to win everything. And they, you know, especially with Roman. And so they're like, let's just make him the heel and hopefully people will boo him. So I felt like that was probably a panic move on the guys backstage. But, I mean, it's fine either way. I like it. I mean, I like that. You know, I'm always a sucker for cliques and groups and stuff. So, I like that, he's kind of with those guys again, and they're the club, you know. So,
John Cena versus AJ Styles. I think it was way too early to turn him. I mean, even if you wait 2 or 3 months and have you know, him feud with Cena out of respect, and then he loses or whatever, and then AJ just like can't handle all this loss, and that's when he kind of turns to the dark side. Because there's not really a reason that AJ turned heel other than these are my friends, and what I've been an asshole this whole time. I just been hiding it from you guys, or
yeah. And why is he so pissy with Cena, who hasn't even been there the whole time he's been there?
Yeah, I know. And him and Cena are like, I respect you. I respect you too. And he just turned on him for no reason. I think on SmackDown.
I get it against Roman. I just didn't get it against Cena.
Yeah, I could totally see him turning heel on Roman Reigns. But yeah, definitely not against John Cena. Speaking of people turning heel, Seth Rollins came back at the pay-per-view, and he had a hero's welcome. He was cheered, probably a bigger pop, bigger than we've seen in a long time. Maybe as big as AJ coming out at the Rumble. And the next night on Raw, he came out again, and the place was just, they loved him, and they wanted to cheer for him. And like you said, you know, it's like they don't know when it's time to kind of make a change. I feel like he would have been better off as a babyface for a while, just based on the reaction he's gotten. And they totally just stopped it. They pulled the plug on it, and they turned him heel the next night.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, dude. They're scared because they're trying so hard to make Roman Reigns the man. How many times I gotta listen to I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm the guy. Yes, Roman, you don't need to say it every fucking week. Like,
then he says, I'm gonna say this again, everybody. Like,
exactly. Like, I know you already heard me say this a million times, but it's worth saying again. I'm not a good guy. But it's like, once again, it's like they want to make him the man so bad that they're, like, so threatened by AJ and Seth and all these guys stealing the limelight and having the crowd go nuts for these guys to beat their boy Roman. So it's like, so they're like, make everybody heal and just keep Roman the good guy. And it's stupid, man. It's stupid. They should have totally let Seth come back as the good guy, gave him a nice little run. He needs to get the belt back anyway. The dude never lost it in the first place. He's the best thing going on the current roster today. Give him the shit back, you know, and there was just no need. I was so pissed on Raw Monday when he was, like, all sucking it up, and then he's just like, I don't need any of you. Like, I'm like, oh, God, here's this typical bullshit again. Like, I'm like, we don't need to go here. So, like, I hated that they went that direction, man. But once again, it's just because they're hoping that because you talk shit to everybody, they're going to get behind Roman now, which ain't going to happen either.
Yeah, the entire, like, everything they do is just based around getting Roman over. And it's just, it hurts every other aspect of the show. I really feel like it does.
Yep.
Make Roman look strong. What do you think of Roman's progress? Do you think he's, I feel like he's gotten a lot better as a wrestler. But then again, I mean, he's been fighting top caliber wrestlers. But I feel like he's been getting better in the ring. But on the mic, he's too nervous, and because he's going out there and he's reciting lines. And I feel like at this point in his career, you know, it's in his blood. He's been doing this for a couple years now, and I feel like they're to the point where they should give him bullet points instead of scripts. And I think he would come off a lot better, as Steve Austin says, his himself, but just turned up to 10.
I... I mean, I don't mind Roman, dude. Like, I've never minded Roman, but what I do mind is when WWE decides to just make people unstoppable. Like, Extreme Rules pissed me the F off. Like, I hated seeing, like, him getting, you know, three Styles clashes, getting the elbow, getting this, getting that, getting smashed with a fucking chair 20 times, and still somehow finding a way to beat AJ. It's just like, I can't stand that kind of shit.
Yeah. You know, he goes out there with AJ Styles, and he just has this amazing match. And, you know, it's all AJ, because AJ's, like, this great worker, and he just doesn't get the credit for it.
Yeah.
At least he's made it to the big game.
Honestly, that's what started to turn me off from Stone Cold back in the 90s. You know, it was like, I was like, okay, I like Stone Cold. He's pretty cool. And then they all of a sudden they made him the most invincible dude in the world. At that point, I lost interest. Like, I get it's scripted. I get that, you know, we want to focus on certain people, but I don't like when certain people become indestructible. I mean, that's what made me hate Cena. That's what made me hate Stone Cold. Like, you know, and it's what's making me start to hate Roman Reigns now, because it's like they're doing that shit again where, like, you can just do your finishing move 10 times on the guy and he's going to keep kicking out and he's going to find a way back. There's no reason after AJ slammed him with a chair 15 times on the back that he should have been able to get back up from that. It should have been a pin, it should have been over, and AJ should have won the title at Extreme Rules. I don't care about anything else. I felt like AJ was robbed regardless of the fact. You know, not saying that going into the match that he should have, you know, dropped it to AJ, but the way that that match went, it just became a little ridiculous with every kick out and with everything that happened that he was able to keep coming back from all of that.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that, well, I guess Roman is wearing a bulletproof vest, so those chair shots really don't, you know, they don't affect him.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
They don't affect him. He's cheating.
He is a cheater.
He's a cheater. He wears riot gear to the ring.
Exactly. He's probably got brass knucks in his gloves.
He probably does. I never thought of that. You're right. He probably does. Yeah, they're like the loaded gloves.
Loaded shoulder pads and his little bulletproof vest there. That's why his spear is so effective.
So let's go back to the draft. I want to talk about NXT a little bit. How much of a presence do you think NXT will have in the draft? Or do you think they'll be eligible at all? I feel like they really need NXT to fill these rosters out. There's a lot of people down there that are ready to come up. You know, Bayley, Asuka, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, Austin Aries. These guys are ready to be on the main roster. Shinsuke Nakamura. Do you think that they're going to raid NXT, or do you think they're going to kind of leave it alone?
I think they're going to leave it alone for the most part. I think they will allow a couple picks from NXT to both Raw and SmackDown. I think they might be kind of like bonus picks. You know, that they'll try to do, like, you're allowed to pull two people, a male and a female, from the NXT roster, right? You know, maybe something like that. I just can't see them pulling too much from it, because that's their brand right now. I mean, that's their hotness, so they can't just, like, raid NXT. I mean, you know, like, unless, I don't even know, man, I'm trying to think of another way they can kind of get around it. Where, like, they'll still be NXT guys, but, like, they get to be represented on, you know, on, like, Raw or SmackDown also. Like, there's maybe something they can do like that. I don't know. I think that, like I said, in my mind, I feel like they might have, like, a NXT kind of option on the show weekly. That they can have some matches. I don't think they'll allow the full roster to be available to just pluck from and then leave nobody really in NXT. I agree with you that I think they need some NXT guys to really flush the rosters out. So who knows? Maybe they'll give everybody five picks, you know? I think they will be involved to a small extent, but I don't think they're going to get too much drafted out of it.
Well, hypothetically speaking, what would you say to them basically taking everybody that you see on TV? Not everybody, we'll say 85% of these people, because they do have so many people that they haven't even debuted on TV yet. They have a lot of people that are probably ready to go. They have Nikki Storm. They just signed her. She's on the road. They have Adrian Reese, who was Athena on the Indies. They have TMDK, Shane Hayes, and Mikey Nichols, who they recently named Nick Miller and Shane Thorne. They have a lot of new people coming up in the ranks. And I feel like, you know, if they rated NXT, that since NXT is developmental anyways, then they could just replenish with new people.
They could, but it'll be hard to start NXT TV over again with basically all new people. I mean, I think it would really hurt the ratings if all of a sudden it was just nothing but fresh faces, you know? People have an attachment to all these characters, and that's why NXT is so big, you know? I mean, it'd be kind of cool to see if they were like everybody that's currently on NXT television is eligible. I just don't see them really pulling from the whole pool, you know what I mean? Like like I said, I could see them saying everybody in NXT is eligible right now, but you're only allowed to pick, like I said, like five from the NXT roster maybe, you know, and I would say, you know, maybe three males, two females, or something like that. Like, I bet you, like, that's probably how they would layer it down a little bit.
Have you ever seen the NFL draft?
No.
Okay, but you know what the concept is, right?
Yeah.
Like the AFC isn't drafting people from the NFC, and the NFC isn't drafting people from the AFC. They're coming up from the college level. So with that being said, how would you feel about every year, instead of drafting from each other brand, they draft from NXT?
That'd be awesome. It'd be a smart way to go about it, you know, to freshen up the rosters. You know, NXT could be its own draft pool. You know, who's going to come up this year from NXT, you know?
Yeah, and they could be fantasy drafts, and there could be stats, and because there's a whole world of football fantasy drafts out there. And, like, lately, this wrestling world, all I've seen is fantasy drafts. Vince Russo, on his YouTube channel, did a really fun fantasy draft. If you ever have an hour and a half to kill, I recommend it. It's really fun. He talks a lot of smack about people because, you know, he's a hater. He likes to talk shit about people. But all I've seen everywhere is fantasy drafts. And I feel like if they did this, made a yearly thing, it would create a lot of hype and a lot of buzz, and it would sell subscriptions to the network.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I think that'd be pretty awesome.
Because it always bothered me, because I follow football, and, you know, drafting from one brand to the other brand, it just never made sense to me. That's not a draft, you know what I mean? Because a draft is bringing people in brand new. And I feel like NXT is a great way to start doing the draft every year. And plus, if they keep the roster separate for years, SmackDown over here, Raw over here for years, when they finally do some kind of cross-brand, it'll actually mean something.
Yeah. No, I love it, dude. I mean, they should really utilize NXT to pull from. And it should be, you know, like, I think they made a great leap this year after WrestleMania, because we got a couple people, right? We got Enzo and Cass, and we got Apollo Crews, and, you know, they brought a couple people up, which was pretty cool, rather than just, you know, the way it was before, it was always like one person, you know, after WrestleMania came up. So I think if they focused a little bit more on NXT and let that be kind of like a special kind of draft every year of who gets to come up basically from the minor to the major leagues, that'd be pretty tight.
Yeah, you're right. And instead of calling the people up, right, they could just draft who they think is ready to go. And it would create a lot more buzz, I think, than people just showing up on Raw, just Enzo just showing up on Raw, you know?
Yep.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the draft. I know what they should do is the first year they do a fantasy draft, a draft on the whole company. And then I think every year maybe this year even NXT isn't available, you know, and then next year it's only NXT draft, only NXT. I think that'd be awesome going forward.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see, man, because they have a lot of potential to screw this up, and they have a lot of potential to do amazing things with this.
Let me ask you, I mean, what, the one big kind of elephant in the room, too, with the draft is titles. Do you think that we're going to go back to individual titles for both shows? Do you think they'll share, you know, any of the champs between both shows? What do you think they're going to do title-wise?
Yeah, titles is definitely something I wanted to bring up with you. It's kind of slipped my mind, but I feel like they have to have two world titles. You know, they could split up the Intercontinental title, they could split up the U.S. title, yep. But I feel like as far as the world title, and even tag titles goes, we need a second one, just because I want to keep the drafts, the brands completely separate. I want them to be, you know, the AFC to the NFC, and I want them to be two completely different things, and build it up for a long time, for a couple years, and then it'll mean something. I feel like we didn't really get a payoff last time. I feel like it just diminished. The brand just kind of diminished over time, and it left kind of a bad taste in our mouths, and I feel like this is their chance to really do it right. What do you think about titles? Do you think they should have two world titles?
I do. I am a big believer, and if they're going to split this thing, then each show needs to be separate, and they need to have their own representing champions. I am all for two world titles, obviously splitting up the IC in the U.S. I would bring in an extra tag team set. And, you know, the only big question mark is the women's title, just because it's like we just did this whole big thing in WrestleMania with retiring the Divas Championship and making this new women's championship. And then, like, then what? Do we just add a second women's championship, or do you bring back the Divas title? Like, I feel like it's just because it's so fresh, I don't know what they would really do with the women.
I feel like WWE really, like, tarnished the word diva at the end. I feel like at the end of the Divas title run, they made diva a dirty word.
Yeah. So I'm just like, at that point, I don't know, man. What if, I was going to say, maybe you bring the NXT titles to, like, SmackDown, you know, and then, like, and then that's your, you know, your NXT tag titles, the NXT Women's Championship. You bring those titles over to one of the brands, and then that could be that brand's, you know, belts too on top of NXT. I don't know. That might be some kind of way that you kind of get around it too a little bit. But I think they definitely...
Oh, go ahead.
I'm separate, sure. I mean, it was a big thing I really enjoyed back in the day, and then we can make the Night of Champions pay-per-view relevant again.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're definitely right about that. I feel like having two
titles
world
being defended in one night.
Exactly. I feel like having two world titles would really, like, make each show feel important, and, you know, instead of having a champion go back and forth between the two shows. In fact, if there's two titles, I could see very well see AJ Styles being the first SmackDown World Champion. What do you think they should? What do you think they would call these belts? Because obviously you can't call it the world title. Like, I feel like that's too taboo at this point. Like the WWE title and the world title, we can't bring back the world title. Do you think it should be a mirror image of the WWE title and just call them both the WWE Championship?
No, I think that they would totally just bring back the world title. It might be revamped. It might look different, but I think that they'll totally just split it back up. I mean, remember the belt right now is called the WWE World Heavyweight Championship only because it's merged with the world title. So if you separate them back out, we just go back to a WWE champion and a world heavyweight champion, respectively. You know,
yeah.
I don't know if they would just bring back like the big gold belt. You know, I think they might redesign something fresh. I would hope that they would, because I think that's, you know, I always felt that was kind of weird that WWE just decided to take, like, the WCW belt and run with it. Like, I felt like that didn't seem like WWE to me, because they always like to do their own thing with the titles and stuff. So I would hope that they would just redesign it and they would have something new that would represent as the World Heavyweight Champion. But I think that's just what the name will be. I think they'll just split them back up to the way it was before, and then if they decide to do the tag team belts, they could just go back to, you know, having the World Tag Team Champions and the WWE Tag Team Champions, you know? So, I'd be down for that.
Well, in their defense, Eric Bischoff did introduce the world title.
Still.
WCW guy.
And that's fine if that's how they wanted to start it, but you would think at some point, you know, from 2003 to 2013, they would have redesigned it at some point, so it wasn't just the WCW belt.
I'm partial to a similar belt, but instead of being a red stripe on the bottom, it's a blue stripe on the bottom. I think that'd be pretty neat.
Oh, that'd be great. I mean, yeah, and they could design something like that and just do it with the different color stripe. That'd be pretty cool. I like that idea a lot, actually. Do it like the, you know, the red and blue Money in the Bank briefcases.
Exactly. Hey, so one thing about NXT that I forgot to bring up to you. Coming up on June 8th, they're going to have NXT TakeOver The End. The End is referencing the Joe and Balor feud that's happening on NXT. And the reason why I was saying, well, what happens if the entire roster gets drafted and we're left with all new people filling in the spots? We got, you know, No Way Jose is down there. And we got, I don't know, Bobby Roode, I guess, comes in at this point. And, you know, these guys, the young guys, the up-and-comers are now the top of the tier in NXT.
Did he finally wrestle on a taping, Roode?
No, he hasn't.
What the
fuck? He's been announced for an NXT UK tour. So he will wrestle in an NXT ring,
man,
in the UK. I think after the tour, he's probably going to come back and be part of the roster.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so what do you think about NXT The End? Do you think it's going to be truly The End, or do you think it's just a tagline for the match?
I think it's just a tagline for the match. But it would make sense if they decided to do the drafting like you said and just kind of draft the whole roster out. Then it is the end of this version of NXT as we know it, and then we get a whole new relaunch of NXT the following week. I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
I think
too
this
bad,
is just
though.
Finn Balor's goodbye. You know?
Yeah, that's true. You're definitely right. Maybe he'll get drafted, and he'll just kind of wait around.
He's got to get drafted.
Now
it's
draft time.
This dude has to come up to the main roster.
It would be a good way to introduce a bunch of people like Samoa Joe and Bayley and Finn Balor to the roster.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. All right, Don, I think that's pretty much everything. There's a bunch of other stuff going on, but I don't even know. It's all crazy out there in the wrestling world. It's all upside down. Do you watch Impact?
I skim Impact on a weekly basis.
Did you see this? Did you see this? This contract signing that's on online between Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy.
I saw the shitty little thing they filmed in like their garage. Like, it was pretty bad.
That's TNA for you. That's like
Brother Nero.
I can't put it into words. Revy Sky walks in the room and she throws a fake baby at Jeff Hardy,
which was awesome. That was my favorite part.
Because she has the baby, I'm like, okay, well, she can't get involved. She has a baby, and all of a sudden, you see this baby flying across the room, and Jeff Hardy's like, oh, he's trying to catch it because he thinks it's his nephew or whatever, niece, I don't know. Oh man,
dude, I want Jeff to leave there so bad and just come back to WWE. Come on, Jeff, this is fucking so stupid. Why are you putting yourself through this, buddy? I mean, it works
can't
for
do
Matt.
It. He can't
but
do it.
But I need Jeff to come back.
I don't think he'd be able to. He's in still too much trouble with the law. Somebody that might come back, though, is Kurt Angle. Do you feel like he'll ever come back?
I do. I think he'll come back. I think he's got one last run in him, and then he'll go in the Hall of Fame, and he'll get that Sting kind of run. I don't think he'll be full-time, but I think he'll come back.
Come back and lose the Triple H at WrestleMania.
Exactly. He'll do a couple big matches. He'll retire and go in the Hall of Fame. So I have no doubt that Kurt's on his way back. I think he's kind of doing his little final rounds right now, and then he's going to retire after WWE.
You know, he would also be a great addition to the brand split.
That'd be an awesome, like, pick, you know, out of
nowhere.
That would
be cool, like, in the draft. Like, I draft Kurt Angle. Like, Shane McMahon could do it because, you know, they go way back.
Yeah, if they could do a couple surprise drafts, you know, some people that you weren't expecting, it'd be like what if like Bobby Roode, you know, is like, you know, people know that name, they know who he is. It's like all of a sudden you take a couple of these, like, you know, guys that are, you know, free agents kind of, so to speak, and then bring them up, you know, in your draft. That'd be a pretty exciting pick.
They could have these guys, Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode, not even be in the building that night. And they'd be like, yeah, I draft Kurt Angle. And they're like, what? I think that would just kind of shock the world.
Yeah. I like it.
I definitely
They should
do.
Totally pull some from some free agents, so to speak.
That would be a really good addition to the draft. They draft the Young Bucks.
Yeah. It'd be cool if they save some surprise signings, you know, to not announce and then just do it as part of the draft. It'd be pretty tight.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, Don, well, thanks for hanging out with me for a bit. It's been fun talking wrestling, and it's been a long time for you, so talking wrestling.
It has been. It's always fun when we get a chance to do it.
We'll have to do this again sometime soon. Go ahead and plug some social media before we get out of here.
You know what, man? You can follow me on Twitter at DXDonMega. Once again, follow my show at Am I On The Air. It's AmiOnTheAir. Am I On The Air for all of your aim it needs, AmiOnTheAir.com. And, of course, Red Dragons Radio. Follow at Red Dragons Radio on Twitter. And come along for the ride. Come on over. Check out the website. Give a listen to all of our shows and spread the love.
I like how you do the two different shows. You do the Am I On The Air, and then when you feel like doing like a spoiler show, you do Am I Still On The Air.
Yeah.
And that way it kind of keeps, you know, your listeners, your fan base kind of safe from the spoilers if they don't want to hear them.
Exactly. On Am I On The Air, I do movie reviews on every episode, and I always do it spoiler-free. I don't want to piss anybody off. I don't like to give anything away, so it's a very loose kind of, hey, check out this movie, don't check out this movie, here's my score. And if it's a big movie like Captain America Civil War, you know, Batman Superman, we'll probably do one here for X-Men. There's a lot, it's summertime, so you'll start to see a lot more of the spoiler reviews, and that's when we'd like to, you know, I get a couple other people with me and we really break down the movie, what we liked, what we didn't like, and get the freedom to talk about it, you know, totally spoiler filled. So that's, it's a lot of fun to do the Am I Still On The Airs and really lock down on one particular subject and dive into it.
So how often do you see movies? Are you like always going to the movies, or
I see a movie at least once a week, if not more.
Okay.
So
and then you review that movie.
And I review that movie on the very next time I'm on the air. So, you know, always try to have, you know, the latest and latest thing, you know, qualified for you there, so you can always know when to go see at the movie theater.
I know a big spoiler for Civil War. I haven't seen it yet, but I kind of know the climax of the movie.
Oh, it's awesome.
Thanks to wrestling fans.
And there you go to amiontheair.com and listen to the spoiler review. We'll tell you all about it.
Nice. Cool, Don. Well, thanks very much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, Don. If you listen to Future Endeavors, then you get that inside joke. But if not, then I guess I just sound like an idiot to you. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much to Don Mega for stopping by. It was a really fun, good conversation I had with him. It's really like, it's good, man. You know, going out there and just talking wrestling and just having a bunch of topics and just getting off your chest, you know. It's therapeutic. It's fun. It's fun to listen to. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation I had with Don Mega. We talked all about the brand split. It was a good time. And now I'm back. I'm back. Welcome back to me. Thank you. Welcome back to you guys as well. Let's talk about NXT TakeOver The End, and then I'm going to get out of here because I got places to sleep and I got things to dream about. Now, I'm going to get into the match card real quick first, and then we'll take it from there. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm having allergies attacks, man, you guys. I'm having allergies. I'm having a heat stroke. I'm having, like, you name it, I'm having that issue today. So I don't know what's going on. I was having audio issues this morning for, like, an hour. I was on my computer. I couldn't get the audio to work. I'm, like, trying to get it to work, doing everything I can think of, trying to get it to work, closing the programs, restarting the computer. Like, anything that I could do to get this damn audio to work on my headphones was not doing it for me. And so I finally get frustrated and I go, and I get up, I go to the bathroom, and I'm just like mad. I'm gonna come back in here and I'm not even gonna do it. I'm gonna throw my computer in the garbage. I'm gonna quit podcasting forever. I'm gonna just destroy the world. And I sit down on my computer and I said, okay, I'm gonna figure out what's going on. And I press play and the darn audio worked. Why did the audio work? I don't know. Why did the audio not work? I don't know. But I'm here. I'm back. I have an allergy attack. I'm having heat stroke. I'm having audio problems. I'm grumpy. I'm cranky. I'm tired. What a great, wonderful Sunday it is, you guys. I'm having so much fun being here. No, really, I am. This is an escape from, like, craziness. Absolute madness, you guys. Absolute madness. So let's get into the card for NXT that's going to happen this Wednesday. This one's something like that. I don't know. I'm going to watch it, though. Probably not live, but I'm going to watch it. The first match is it's a mystery match, and I think they've announced it. It's going to be Ty Dillinger, a.k.a. the new CJ Parker. Ty Dillinger taking on Cien Alma Almas. I don't remember. Cien Almas, we'll say that for now. It's not Almas, it's Alma. Whatever. I forgot. I seen the name a couple of times, and I know how to pronounce it. I just can't remember right now. Anyways, Cien is La Sombra, and he is going to be making his television debut in NXT. And I'm so excited about seeing La Sombra on NXT TV. He's a great act. You know, I've seen clips of him from CMLL in Mexico. He does great things. And I personally thought they're going to save him for the Cruiserweight Classic. But I guess if he's not going to win it, don't put him in there. You know. WWE, you know what's up. So, yes, CN versus Ty Dillinger. It's definitely going to be a showcase / introduction match for CN, and he's going to pick up the win, the 1-2-3, and it'll be a good match. I feel like Ty Dillinger's the new CJ Parker. He's the guy that when somebody comes into the company, they put him up against, and he's the guy that they trust, and he's the guy who can make somebody look good, and he is the guy that can go out there and have a solid match with just about anybody. So Ty Dillinger takes the loss. CN gets the win in his very first NXT match. Boom. Bada boom. Realest guys in the room. How you doing? That was my boy Enzo. Enzo! What else is on the card? Nia Jax versus Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship. The NXT Women's Championship. Now, I know Bayley got screwed out of her rematch. She got hurt. I think it was a fake injury. I mean, if it wasn't a fake injury, then I completely apologize to Bayley for the air quotes and the sarcastic tone. Hurt. But if she did fake the injury, then I completely like back up my statement. She got hurt, and they ended up doing like a three-way match for the number one contendership. I feel like she got hurt because they didn't want her to lose to Asuka again. You know, Asuka's undefeated. Asuka's a beast. Asuka is the Ronda Rousey of the WWE, and they don't want her to lose, and they don't want Bayley to lose again. And so they did this fake injury angle where Bayley couldn't be part of it and blah, blah, blah. And now Nia Jax is a number one contender. Nia Jax is getting better. She's getting better in the ring. She's doing good. She's this feud with Asuka and Nia Jax has been pretty decent. So I'm looking forward to this match. Of course, Asuka's gonna win. Asuka's the beast. She's badass. She's a monster. She's amazing. So yeah, Asuka for the win to retain the women's championship. Up next, we have the WWE. I mean, the NXT tag team titles, as we have American Alpha, the tag team champions, taking on the Revival, Dash and Dawson, two guys that I, as a wrestling fan, cannot tell apart. I don't know who's who. They might as well be the Bushwhackers. I don't know who they are. They're Luke and Butch, for all I care. These guys, though, they both remind me of Arn Anderson. I feel like they're trying to portray the Brainbusters from the 80s, which isn't a bad thing. You know, that's a good tag team to imitate. I mean, they're not out there imitating the Bushwhackers or Men on a Mission or the Quebecers or who else? Techno Team 2000. They're not out there imitating somebody that's awful. Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, the Brainbusters, were really, really good. And they meant business. They weren't into playing games. They meant business. They got into that ring and they took care of it. And I feel like that's what the Revival is. And they kind of look like them a little bit. I think they both actually look like Arn Anderson, personally. That's why I call them the Arn Anderson twins. They're a good tag team. They're a good hand, if you will. And you know, it's not going to be their day. American Alpha is going to retain the tag team titles. American Alpha is up and coming. They're really good. They have amazing moves. These guys are reinventing what tag team wrestling is. And I feel like that American Alpha needs to have this tag team title for a long, long time. Austin Aries versus Shinsuke Nakamura in what is unofficially a number one contenders match. These guys have been teaming up for a little bit here and there. They teased a little bit of tension. And Austin Aries came out and said, hey, you know what, you guys? I may have been overshadowed by other people's debuts when I debuted. But I'm here, and I'm gonna be NXT champion before you know it. And then Shinsuke Nakamura comes out, and Shinsuke's like, do you understand Japanese? It was so funny because he started talking in Japanese, and he goes, do you understand Japanese? And then Austin Aries goes, I don't understand you. And then Nakamura basically broke it down for him and said, the NXT champion will be the king of strong style. Meaning himself, of course. And then Austin Aries is like, oh, hell nah. And then Shinsuke Nakamura is like, oh, hell nah to you. They didn't say the last part. I just made that up. But then William Regal came out. William Regal's like, you know what, you guys? You give me a fantastic idea. I want to see Austin Aries versus Nakamura one-on-one at NXT TakeOver The End. And there you go. It's not officially a number one contenders match, but I feel like it is just because they both want the belt and then they made the match. I feel like William Regal should have said number one contenders. But then again, if they don't actually say it, then they still have the ability to like change it on the fly. They still have the ability to be like, okay, well, Nakamura won. We don't want to make him lose yet, so let's not put him in the tag team. Let's not put him in the title picture yet. You know, you don't put somebody like Nakamura in the title picture until you're ready for him to win. So if Nakamura beats Aries, he can become number one contender, and he goes and loses to Joe. What does that mean? What does that do? That doesn't do anything. So that's kind of why they didn't announce this as the number one contenders match, because they don't want to put Nakamura, or even Aries for that matter, in a situation where they have to lose. You know, if Samoa Joe's going to keep the belt for longer. Because Samoa Joe just won the belt. It's his first pay-per-view as champion, I think, right? Yeah, it has to be. Because the last one was NXT Brooklyn. And Finn Balor won that one. Joe won the belt on a house show, you guys. It's so weird. So let's talk about... Oh, wait. There's still another match. NXT Championship Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor in a... first ever NXT steel cage match. This is going to be cool. I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's on a typical WWE cage match. You know, if you guys don't know what a typical WWE cage match is, let me explain it really, really quick. A WWE typical cage match is a match with a cage around the ring that doesn't come into play. There's just a cage there. It's like, oh, look, there's a cage. Let's not touch it at all. That is a typical WWE cage match. So let's hope that this match is, it's a knockdown, drag-out fight between these guys. And let's hope that the end of Finn Balor being in NXT is memorable. And it's amazing. And it's the greatest thing we ever saw. Let's hope for that, you guys. Because I think that if they let these two guys go out there and tear the house down, guess what? These two guys are going to go out there and they're going to tear the house down. They're going to give us something that we've never seen before. And they're going to give us something that we're excited about and that we want to talk about. Samoa Joe's going to win, obviously, because he just won the title, and I don't want to see him lose it yet. Plus, Finn Balor's probably going to get called up soon. So let's talk about the name, NXT TakeOver The End. Originally, this show was called NXT TakeOver Revenge, and it was Finn Balor's revenge against Samoa Joe, you know? And recently, Triple H announced on Twitter that's going to be called NXT TakeOver The End. I kind of touched on a little bit with Don in the conversation, but I kind of wanted to break it down a little bit more. Because, like I said, I felt like I was kind of like jumping around in the conversation with Don. So let me break it down what I think the end is going to mean. I feel like it's going to be the end of NXT as we know it. The end of an era. The end of... people are saying, oh, NXT got canceled. NXT's getting canceled. How can you have a show canceled that's on your own damn network? It doesn't work like that, you guys. If NXT was going away, they would tell us, okay? I've heard people on Facebook, I didn't hear on my Reddit, saying, oh, the NXT TakeOver The End means, what did they say? What did I just thought of it, and now I can't remember. Oh, yeah, somebody said, oh, well, it was good. NXT was a good developmental territory, and it served its purpose, and now they're going to end it. No, I'm sorry, but if you're the WWE, you're a conglomerate, you're a huge company, a worldwide global enterprise, you're not going to say, oh, well, that was fun. Triple H had his little fun, whatever, we're done now. You need a developmental. You need a place for these guys to go. You need NXT. So I don't honestly feel like NXT is going away. But I do feel like NXT will be altered, changed. And the reason why I say that is because the draft is coming up. And I feel like we need these NXT guys in the draft. We need a Samoa Joe. We need a Finn Balor. We need an American Alpha. We need Austin Aries. We need Shinsuke Nakamura. We need Ty Dillinger. We need Buddy Murphy, Wesley Blake, Alexa Bliss, Carmella, Asuka, Bayley. We need these people to fill the rosters because the WWE isn't that deep right now. And they're going to split the brands. They're going to do a draft. And I feel like NXT is going to be eligible. And I feel like 2/3 of the company will be drafted to either Raw or SmackDown. Now, what does that mean for NXT? That means guys like Hugo Knox, Tino Santelli, Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, Nikki Storm, TM61. There's all these guys that aren't really on TV yet. You know, TM61 debuted on TV, whatever. But you know what I mean. Like, there's all these guys that NXT has that are doing the house show loop that aren't on NXT TV yet. No way Jose just got there. He could be a pillar of the company, you know? I was looking at this roster last night. If you guys haven't checked it out, go to Wikipedia, search NXT, and go to the roster page. There's a lot of people, Rich Swann, who are not on television yet, that are part of NXT touring and doing house shows and at the Performance Center. And doing this and doing that. And I feel like, you know, we don't need Samoa Joe down there. We don't need Austin Aries down there. We don't need Shinsuke Nakamura down there. Those guys are ready. American Alpha, they're ready. The Revival, they're ready. Bayley, Asuka, Carmella, they're ready. Bring them up. You know, put them on Raw. Put them on SmackDown. Let's do this. And NXT could be all new faces, all fresh faces. You know? I don't know if that's going to happen. But I feel like that would be the best way to handle the draft and the best way to handle NXT. And it's NXT the end for a reason. It's not because of Joe and Balor. Maybe it is, but it's not only because of that. If it was only because of Joe and Balor, then why wouldn't they call it NXT Revenge? It was originally called NXT Revenge, but they went out of their way to specifically change the name of this show. Why? I don't know why. Bobby Roode is going to be in there somewhere. Eric Young is going to be in there somewhere. I mean, you could keep those guys potentially down there. You could have Eric Young defeat Samoa Joe and Bobby Roode in a three-way, and Eric Young could be the NXT champion. Samoa Joe could go to Raw, and then Eric Young and Bobby Roode can have a feud for the NXT title. And then Dixie Carter will cry because those three are her guys. They were her guys. Now they're NXT guys, or WWE guys, if you will. That's my rant. End of rant. I'm tired. I have to go. I'm grumpy. I'm cranky. I'm hungry. What else am I? I'm a lot of things right now. And I'm gonna go. Thank you for listening. I look forward to NXT TakeOver The End. I look forward to Money in the Bank, which is, I don't know when that's happening, you guys. I'm really, really looking forward to the draft. The draft is something that I am so excited. I did an entire show about the draft. Oh man. I am so excited about the draft that I just killed the recording. I don't know what I was doing. I was flailing my hands in the air and talking about the draft and being excited, and I hit something on the keyboard, and for some reason it stopped the recording. But I'm back. Nonetheless, I am back, and I'm better than ever. I am back. Face facts, because your opinion doesn't matter. I'm back. Something, something, something maniac. I'm back. Eric Bischoff's theme song. I love it. I love it. I don't know if you guys know who Kid Cadet is. She is, she's a ring announcer for Shine. She's just like a personality. She's not a wrestler. She's cool though. I was listening to her on some WrestleZone podcast. They had her on. She has good opinions, and she talks about wrestling, and she talks about women's wrestling and stuff. And anyways, the whole point is, she did a cover song of Eric Bischoff's WWE theme song. And I'm like, oh, really? Because I love Eric Bischoff's theme song. It's like, I could listen to it as a real song. Like, I could just walk down the street and listen to it. I don't know if I said this before in the podcast, but Eric Bischoff's theme song is a song that I listen to when I need to feel cocky, when I need to feel confident. When I go to a job interview, the job I have now, when I was on the bus headed to the interview, what did I do on the bus? I listened to "I'm Back" over and over and over and over, and it puts a smile on my face. It puts swagger in my step. It makes me feel confident, and it makes me feel like I can conquer the world sometimes. Anyways, the whole point is, they were talking about her covering the song, and I'm like, oh no, this is gonna be awful. And then at the end of the show, they played the song, and it was really, really good. So if you guys ever get a chance, I think you have to listen to it on SoundCloud or something. I'm not exactly sure. I listened to it on WrestleZone Radio, but Kid Cudi's cover of Eric Bischoff's "I'm Back." It's really good. It's really fun. It's really amazing. And I was like really happy with it. I thought I went in to listen to the song thinking I was gonna be disappointed, but I thought it was really cool. That was really cool. So that's kind of a tangent off the subject that I was talking about. But hey, you know what? Whatever. I'm back. I'm better than ever. I'm back. Face facts, because your opinion doesn't matter. Her cover's way better than mine, though. That's for sure. Follow the show on Twitter at PWM Podcast. Follow Don Mega on Twitter at DX Don Mega. Go get your t-shirts, ProWrestlingTees.com, ProWrestling Nation. That's about it. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to go now. Tweet me your NXT predictions. Tweet me your predictions for NXT The End. NXT TakeOver The End. In fact, don't just tweet me predictions of the matches. Tweet me predictions of what does the end mean? Does it mean something, or am I reading too far into it? Is it just the end of the rivalry? Is that all? I mean, it's possible that that's all. That's what Don thinks. I think there's more to it than that. If it was just the end of the rivalry, I don't see why they couldn't call it Revenge. That was the original name. So you know what? Tweet me what you think is going to happen. Tweet me about the draft, especially about the draft. Tweet me fun stuff. You know what? Also, I said I was looking forward to the draft. I said I was looking forward to what else did I say? I don't remember. But another thing I didn't mention was I am looking forward to the Cruiserweight Classic, the Global Cruiserweight Series, whatever you want to call it. I'm looking forward to that. Kota Ibushi, Johnny Gargano, TJ Perkins, I don't know. All kinds of cool guys are in this thing. Oh, Zack Sabre Jr. is going to be in it. And he is doing amazing things right now. And see, Zack Sabre Jr. is the guy that left the UK to come to the United States of America and make a name for himself. And you know what he's doing? He is currently the PWG champion. He is doing stuff with Evolve. He is doing the WWE Cruiserweight Classic. Zack Sabre Jr. is living his dream, and he's doing it big. So good kudos to him. I really hope this thing comes down to Kota Ibushi and Zack Sabre Jr. I am leaning towards Kota Ibushi being the winner, but I guess we'll see. Another quick news tidbit. It's not really a news tidbit. I'm gonna give you a couple news tidbits before I get out of here. This is more of a rumor, so if it isn't true, then don't blame me for it. But apparently, Tommy End, you guys know who Tommy End is, right? He's in Evolve right now. He's another guy who came from Europe to kind of make a name for himself in the US. Tommy End, he has a good look. He's kind of big. He's tattooed up. And I think he would make a great WWE superstar. Well, Tommy End has given notice to WXW in Europe that he is not going to be returning. He's not going to come back. He's quitting. He's quitting the company, you guys. Why is he quitting the company? Why? Does he have a contract? Does he have something to sign? Does he have to report to Orlando? Does he have to report to the Performance Center? I don't know. I don't know. But if Tommy End gets signed by the WWE, I will be very, very happy. That's all. That's all. I'll be very happy if Tommy End gets signed. Here's some news. Brock Lesnar, or as Paul Heyman would say, I don't want to do it right now. I'm too tired and too grumpy and too cranky and too impatient right now. But Brock Lesnar has signed on to the UFC to be at UFC 200 in a match in the octagon. Bart Gunn reported on Twitter. I'm not on Twitter, on Facebook. I honestly, no offense to Bart Gunn. Please, Bart Gunn, if you're listening to this, don't take offense to this. I don't know how credible of a source he is. I don't. I honestly don't know. You know, he said it, and he said it yesterday, and now wrestling websites are saying it today. So I'm going to go on the limb here, and I'm going to say Bart Gunn's probably right. I don't know where he gets information, because you don't think Bart Gunn, right? Oh, Brock Lesnar information. Let me go hit up Bart Gunn. You don't think that. This is not something you think about. But Bart Gunn posted on Facebook yesterday. I'm friends with Bart Gunn on Facebook, you guys. Bart Gunn, yeah. That Brock Lesnar had a clause in his contract that said between WrestleManias, he's allowed to go to UFC for a night, for a match, to fight. And, you know, he was teasing it. Last time he signed his new contract, he was teasing it, going to UFC. I feel like he sat down with Vince McMahon, and he's like, you know what, Vince? I want to stay. I do. But I also want to fight. I want to go to the UFC. I have something to prove. You know, he left on a sour note. He had that I can't even speak right now, you guys. I'm not even going to say it. You know what he had. He left the UFC on a bad note, and I feel like that's the one thing that is bothering him as far as, you know, accomplishing stuff and whatever. And I feel like he just wants to go back and just redeem his name and go back and kick some butt, you know, because you can't really kick butt in WWE. I mean, he does. Trust me. Those suplexes, I'm surprised John Cena's neck isn't broken from whatever match they had at SummerSlam, whatever, how many years ago. You know what? Because Brock Lesnar goes out there and he kills people. He drops them on their head. He suplex cities them to death. But for real, like, he's not supposed to go out there and fight people for real. So that's probably why he is doing this. He wants to fight. You know, he wants to get out of his system. He wants to get over this whole what is it called? I can't even think of what it's called right now. But you know what I'm talking about. He's better. He's done. He's not doing that anymore. I can think of it, but I just can't put it into words. I just can't say it out of my tongue right now. Anyways, so good for him, man. Good for him. If he wants to do that and he's doing it, good for him. And if Bart Gunn's correct, then good for Bart Gunn. And good for me, because I heard it first, you guys, from Bart Gunn. I heard it from Bart Gunn before all these wrestling websites were announcing it. But, like, honestly, I don't know how credible of a source Bart Gunn is. But it would make sense. It would make sense if he's doing it and he's under WWE contract. It would make sense that he has some sort of UFC clause in his contract, because he probably really, really, really wants to fight. You know what I mean? Anything else in the news? I think that's about it. I'm going to go. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for leaving me a positive review on iTunes. That would really help out a lot. I would really appreciate it. And just thank you for being you. Go off. Have yourself a good day. Enjoy it. It's Sunday. It's summertime. It's your vacation. It's your birthday. It's whatever it is. Enjoy it. Thank you for listening, and peace out.